Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bottles popping up before you know it. There's rubber and dust 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you
happy Friday. It is, of course, 9/11. And that is a day of solemnity. Should be on every anniversary. John Martin actually called me about 9/11 earlier this week. And just started asking me questions about it. And it just occurs to me that, like, if John Martin is asking questions, how old's John?
John, I believe, is 28.
So he remember it if you're 28, but not with any, you know, with any detail. You didn't have any context, really, right, of what was happening.
Sure. I think that's probably the way. You remember with detail, but I think the way you said right. It with context, I think, is the appropriate way to do it.
I don't have any grand things to say about it, I'll be honest. It's still devastating. What happened afterwards in the wake of it, as a result of it, our reaction to it. And not our personal reaction, the heroic action of first responders, and that was remarkable and a living testament to courage and enduring testament to courage and selflessness. But then all of the war and deaths and that were a result of it. And here we are in a new crisis, right? Here we are in a new crisis. But there's a wonderful story, a New Yorker story by a guy named James Stewart about the one of the heroes. And you go back today, if you look for it, it's James Stewart. It's in the New Yorker, an older story in the New Yorker. There's also a story by Tom Junod called Falling Man, which was gut-wrenching. To me, the way I try to handle today is to go back and read about some of the heroes and the way that they responded to that moment and maybe everyone knew at the time that that sense of we're all in this together wouldn't last. But when you go back and read about some of the extraordinary things that people did, maybe you can, in your own life, just recapture a little more commitment to feeling that way and being our best selves and living up to that standard of selflessness and looking at something larger and beyond ourselves. But anyway, it's been 19 years.
The thing that I remember about that day was, at least early on, because, you know, I think it was around like 8 o'clock our time when the first tower was hit, and then, you know, it was like every 45 minutes something new was happening. And I remember that feeling of all day of like, what's next? And then, like, it wasn't really until like the end of, like, you know, till you got into the afternoon where you're like, okay, I think it's over. But then you were trying to have to deal with, then you were having to try to like conceptualize everything that had happened.
Yeah, it was just absolutely extraordinary day. And I'm sure all of you out there have your own memories of where were you. It really is. When it is the ultimate for Americans who were alive to witness it, to be there for it, it is the ultimate where were you, much the same as I'm sure the Kennedy assassination was a where were you for those who remember it. I think those are the Challenger would have been another one. But those are the searing moments in our lives, and you think about I like to think about the heroism and the selflessness that resulted today. In addition to thinking about 9/11, we will talk some sports. We'll do it with Jason Smith in the next segment. He is half of Jason and John. Then Chris Harrington will join us straight up at 10 o'clock, and then Fish on Fridays. We'll do Fish on Fridays, and we'll do that at 10:20 or so. There was a football game last night. I watched it. Jeffrey, I presume you watched it. Do you want to change your mind on the if I'm giving you the Kansas City Chiefs or the field to win the Super Bowl? Yesterday, I offered you this.
Yep.
I'm prepared. You took the field.
Yep.
I am prepared to renew my offer now that you have seen the awesome machine, witnessed again the awesome machine that is the Kansas City offense,
with the addition of
a squirty little running back,
yeah,
who gained, I believe, 138 yards. An even better offense. Do you want to reconsider and take the Kansas City Chiefs or the field?
It was certainly terrifying to watch last night.
It was terrifying. Like, how are they going to lose? Like, how are they going? How do you stop them?
So, like, the other thing I think that was more terrifying was Mahomes' best pass was incomplete. The first touchdown pass was insane.
By the way, people complained about people complained about that instant replay. That's why we have instant replay. Yeah. It was not a catch. I'm not complaining about first touchdown pass taken back by instant replay, as it should have been.
Yeah, wasn't caught.
That's what instant replay is designed to do.
Yes.
I don't have any problem with that being. I was glad it was caught back. It wasn't a catch.
With that being said, I still want the field. Too much can happen in a 16-game season.
And let me ask you this.
I would also say this. They still haven't figured out how to stop the run.
No, let me ask you this, though. When you take the field.
It's a math
question. Clearly it's a math thing, but let me ask you this. Is it because you think that something can happen to the Chiefs, like, oh, well, COVID could happen, or Mahomes could get injured, or some kind of calamity befalling the Chiefs that makes them not the Chiefs? Or is it because you actually believe that someone could beat a healthy Chiefs team and you'll just take your chances with it? What if I told you? I'm going to tell you this. Jeffrey, you can take the Chiefs of the field,
yep,
and I will guarantee you that in the playoffs, all of their significant pieces will be healthy, COVID-free, not injured, etc.
Yep.
I'm taking away calamity, and it's literally now you got the Chiefs or the field.
Yeah, I'm still taking the field.
Still taking the field.
Correct. And I will say this. I think the Ravens still match up really well with them.
Because they can run the ball and control the ball.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, we'll talk more about the game in just a second. Obviously, We'll go through it a little chronologically. One of the things that happened, and it was, as I said on Twitter, I would like to say I'm surprised, but I really wasn't surprised. So instead of doing anything during the anthem, the teams decided to do this unity thing. And it wasn't honestly the most elegantly pulled off or whatever. Like, it was just sort of, we're going to celebrate unity and progress and the human spirit and doing better as society. And that's it. Like, and Chiefs fans booed. Not all of them. Not all Chiefs. And you could hear actually some cheers that were trying to counter the boos.
Trying to drown them out.
But come on, man. Seriously? Everyone's told me all along that the boos were about the national anthem because you can't dishonor the anthem. People died for the anthem. It's the anthem. It's the anthem. Well, this wasn't during the anthem. Texans actually stayed in the locker room for the anthem, as the Dolphins have announced that they will be doing all year
both
long.
Both anthems, too.
Yes. It wasn't nothing to do with the anthem. So what are you booing? What are you booing? Now, some said to me on Twitter, Jeff, you clueless moron, they're booing the hyper-politicization of the game, that the Chiefs were celebrating their championship and it was stolen from them by that moment. I'd say a couple things about that. One is, to the extent that anything was stolen from them, it was stolen by a freaking pandemic. The reason they didn't have the night that they had was not because they set aside 1 minute to do something to hope we can do better as a society, a little more racial equity. It was stolen by the pandemic. If you want to say the night was stolen, I don't believe that 1 minute is hyper anything. It's one freaking minute. What? Why is that the hyper politicization of anything? It's not. It's. Well, hey. Yeah, okay. Fine. No anthem. But let's just agree we'll do better in terms of racial progress, equity, equal justice, fairness for all. Boo!
Boo!
What the hell?
No, they said there was a moment, a message that they didn't agree with.
It was, yeah, and if it had been for childhood cancer,
sure,
or for if it had been I'll tell you what, I tweet about puppies all the time now. No one ever says stick to sports.
By the way,
it's only stick to sports.
So last night with Willow
on the end of the bed.
Yeah,
that was the best, wasn't it?
You got to start. You got to give a heads up because that's gonna melt faces.
Yeah, that one was pretty good. They're both. It was a pretty good one. And no one says sticks to sports then. And so if you wanna have a minute for anything else, but here's the truth. And if anyone, the phone number's 535-3776. I wasn't going to take calls on this. But if anyone explain to me anything else that they're booing for, here's what they're booing, okay? We don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear you black people talking about racism. That's it. We don't want to hear it. That's what they're basically saying. They're booing, shut the hell up about racism. We don't want to hear it. We are white people. We're comfortable in our own lives. And we shut up and tackle. Shut up and tackle. That's what they're basically saying. We don't want to hear it.
Well, they're Kansas City. They're more offensive minded. Shut up and catch the football.
Shut up and throw the football. That's what they're booing. They're just booing. We don't want to hear this. We like you in your helmet catching touchdown passes. We don't like you when you are talking about how you don't want to be pulled over by police for things that you didn't do or shot by police. That is what is happening. That is what and I don't even see how that's disputable. Now maybe you can defend it. But that is what they're booing. They're saying, shut the hell up and play football. We don't want to hear about racism. Isn't that what they're saying?
Yeah. I mean, basically what they're saying is whatever you're selling, we ain't buying. Shut up.
Shut up. And what's weird to me is that the same people who are booing, if Clyde Edwards-Hilaire signed their kid's autograph, they would love him. Oh, we love him. They put his post.
What a wonderful young man,
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the moment that we don't love him unless he shuts the hell up. Like then we love him, but we don't want to hear about what he cares about. That's BS. We don't want to hear that, but we do love him when he is playing football for the Chiefs with a helmet on, and we can just see the name on the back of the jersey. If someone thinks they were booing anything else, I'd be interested to hear. Well, here we go. Here, Marty and Bartlett. Marty?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's clearly what they were doing. I mean, they were booing, you know, they didn't like it. I mean, they didn't like what was going on, so they were booing. But I also don't think it's a big deal to, like, bring it up. Like, if they, you know, people are going to have different opinions. If they don't like it, even if it's the worst thing in the world, that's just some people. That's not everybody, you know? So.
No, but isn't it kind of discouraging that some people, I mean, they're supposed to love this team, right? They're supposed to love, this is their team. They're celebrating a championship. They love this team. Isn't it discouraging? It wasn't one people, because I couldn't have heard it over my TV. Isn't it discouraging that many people would audibly boo something? This wasn't even the anthem.
But there's people that do bad things every day. Right. I mean, that's all the news is now. So, like, it shouldn't surprise anybody. It's just how it is. It sucks.
Okay, but we concede it's a bad thing, and these were people who were, okay. I get that. I just wouldn't
give them the time of day, Jeff.
Thanks, Marty. I appreciate that perspective. People will do stupid things, bad things, and just ignore the stupid people.
Yeah, I mean, I had a back and forth on Twitter with Chris Porter about it, and
I guess the truth of the matter is, I think it's symptomatic of us, who we are now. Like, I don't think it's just a few bad people. I think it's a third of America.
Sure.
That is booing black people who want to voice their opinion.
Yeah.
And does that make that third a racist? I honestly think so. But, like, you throw that word out, you're just kind of whatever. But I think it actually does. Like, if that's what you're – if you just don't want to hear people's – I'm exhausted. Well, imagine what it is to be black in America, how exhausting that is. And you just don't want to hear it. And I do think that, in fact, does qualify. I hate to say it for any of you who would have been booing out there. But if you were in that third of America Bobby, we won't talk about it. I'm going to take Marty's advice, and this will be my last call on this topic. But, Bobby, what do you think they were booing, or what was happening last night?
Yeah, I kind of agree with in a little bit with the previous caller along those same lines. I actually thought the booing was more for the Texas. When the visiting team runs out on the field, they got booed because they ran out after the anthems. And I thought the booing was more directed toward that than it was anything else. The players are going to do what they're going to do. I thought that was a very cool way to get their point across with the locking the arms at midfield. But the players are going to do what they're going to do. That minority of fans, if they were even booing that, they're going to do what they're going to do. I think it was minimal. It didn't take away from the game. And I just think, you know, the less you talk about them.
Right. We're going to move on then, Bobby. I appreciate that. Appreciate the sentiment. I just wanted to express my visceral disgust. But then Marty and Bobby have urged me to move on. So
I didn't consider.
We respond to the listeners here.
I'd have to go back and watch timing. I didn't consider the possibility.
No, they weren't booing that. I mean, they melded a little together, but there's a clear separation. All you had to do was listen to the players after the quotes of the players after they were clear on what they were booing. That's what they were booing. But I mean, there was also booing from when they ran out of the tunnel. But then there was a little separation. And why would you have heard some cheers coming from other Chiefs fans? Would they have been mad that they were cheering for that they were booing the Texans coming out of the tunnel? No, they thought it was rude that they were booing that gesture. Okay. Onward to the game. How do you think it, I will say this. Props to the NFL, man. The NFL said that they would begin without delay. They would have football without delay. And you know what they had last night?
Football without delay.
They had, as originally scheduled, an NFL football game on TV last night, and that was fabulous. Like, they did it. Like, they did it. And there were a bunch of fans in the stands. Now, there's not many NFL teams that are going to have that many fans in the stands.
Yeah, because Arrowhead's one of the bigger seating capacities.
Well, they're also allowing more. Like, they're being looser. They're just being looser than, you know, the Bills are allowing nobody.
Yeah.
You know, so most are allowing nobody.
Well,
I think six teams are allowing fans, and there are two others that are Dolphins maybe, and I forgot the other. There's one other team that's having as many as the Chiefs. So there were a lot of Chiefs fans there.
There were, according to the game book, there were, Jeff, 15,895. But I think my favorite part about the seating capacity was they were allowed to have 22%, and because it was 22%, that means like it was a negotiation. Like, you know what
right,
I mean? Like,
right, it wasn't
like
it.
Someone said, like, 25. Like, no, 15.
So and I thought it now, of course, because they were fans, it wasn't quite the test of how it looked without fans, right? Like,
sure.
The question is, well, what's the NFL going to be like without fans? Well, there were fans last night, and there were audible fans last night. Obviously, it was a thinner crowd, but in terms of the, like, they were pretty loud. Arrowhead's always loud, and even that small that small hearty group of fans were loud. And so, in terms of what does this look like, it wasn't a true test, but I thought it looked like football. Didn't you?
Yes, I did. I very much. Last night was the first night since kind of sports had come back that I felt like, all right, I'm into this. Like that, I don't know. I can't explain it. I know I love football, and that had something to do with it. But last night was the first night where I could actually feel the juices again.
Did you see DeAndre Hopkins?
As in, did I watch him play?
No. Did you see what he tweeted?
Oh, grateful. Yeah.
Grateful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the middle of them getting their ass kicked. Mm-hmm. I have to say.
I'm on record. I'm a big DeAndre Hopkins guy.
In the middle of Houston getting their ass kicked, DeAndre Hopkins, sitting there in Arizona, tweets out grateful. That is honestly...
Which is a wonderful Thursday night, Jeff.
No, he's just feeling the gratitude on a Thursday night.
Maybe he was looking at that beautiful, what is it, Saddleback Mountain out there. You know, maybe just...
Camelback Mountain.
Yeah, Camelback Mountain. So, you know, seeing the sights.
Yeah, all of a sudden he was just, for some reason, spontaneously overwhelmed with gratitude. No, and I have to say... It was petty as hell, and you appreciate that.
And I love that.
It was petty as hell. What do you think he was grateful for?
That he's not playing for Bill O'Brien, and I'm dead serious.
How did Bill O'Brien get control over that whole damn organization? And then it's kind of insane.
I think he's a Ponzi scheme. Like, I really do. Like, I have no explanation for it. He's never been overwhelmingly successful. Connor and I were talking about this yesterday. He's kind of the newer Jeff Fisher in that he's never bad enough for everything to implode around him, but he's not actually good.
Well, and then twice, of course, when the game was still competitive, he punts.
Yeah.
At midfield, basically, against the Chiefs and Arrowhead, Patrick Mahomes.
And with reasonable down and distances.
The second was 4th and 9. The first one was 4th and 4.
Yeah.
4th and 4 was totally reasonable. And here's what happened. He punts 4th and 4. And what do the Chiefs do?
They went down and scored.
They don't care about your distance. They go on a 91-yard touchdown drive. So whether it was a 91-yard touchdown drive or a 56-yard, whatever it was, a 50-yard touchdown drive, they were going to score a touchdown. And so you might as well go for it on 4th and 4.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is if you are Houston, it's just hard to imagine how you ever catch up.
It did take them. I'm looking at the chart. It took them 16 plays to score.
Well, that's a lot of plays. That is, in fairness, that is a lot of plays.
Yes.
But they go immediately down the field and score.
Yes.
And you came away thinking that Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson were not the same?
Yeah.
One of these things is not like the other?
Yesterday, I kept seeing like on Twitter everyone just going, they have just enough of a lead of a playmaker and whatnot. I think Deshaun Watson's a very good player. I really do. But if you have watched football and you think those two things are the same, I'm sorry. Like you are.
Deshaun Watson was tremendous against the Bills. I'll say that. He freaking defeated the Bills. It was one of the interesting things on Bills Twitter last night was after that game, it was, man, it's tough to lose to a Bill O'Brien coach team.
Yeah.
Like you go you replay and that loss where you coughed up the lead, a big second half lead, makes you more nauseous when you realize who is on the other side.
Yeah.
So I come away and I don't see how the hell anyone beats Kansas City. I just don't see how the hell anyone beats Kansas City. They are so fast, so skilled.
It's jarring on a sport where everyone on defense is fast. Right. When they are on offense, you just go, God, they're fast.
But I am aware that we think that all the time about teams, and then they lose. We thought that about UNLV and basketball once upon a time. How the hell can they ever lose? Can't ever lose.
Yeah.
And they lose, right? Like, that is the Patriots, the Randy Moss, that Patriots. What year was that?
Oh, I remember that year. It was, it was 2007, and the team with the stupid Manning brother beat them.
Yeah, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, couldn't possibly lose until they did lose. So I'm willing to concede. I just don't see how it happens. They are so damn good, and they did this when their head coach couldn't see a damn thing. Imagine if Andy Reid.
That did make
imagine
you happy.
Imagine if Andy Reid could
modified the hat with the face shield.
Hat
like,
with
you
a face shield.
You can't see that and not feel like all the crap that's going on in the world. You couldn't look at that and go, that's awesome. Like, that's amazing. When he's breathing heavy.
He's breathing.
You know, he's thinking, can I sneak a cheeseburger in here?
Right, exactly. And so if the guy could have seen, it would have been even worse than it was. So they covered. And
damn right they did.
I think they're going to cover a lot. I think they're going to cover. The spreads are going to be enormous, aren't they?
If you want to take a little bit of solace, Andy Reid always starts really fast. Like, the first month, I had the stat yesterday. With Mahomes at quarterback, he's 6-1 against the spread, 7-0 in September. Since he's gotten to Kansas City, he's 17-7 against the number, 19-5 in the month of September. His teams typically always start really fast. And last year, I asked John Martin about the first Chiefs Raiders game where the Chiefs are behind, and then all of a sudden in the second quarter you look up and they scored 50 unanswered.
How many Super Bowls did we say we think Mahomes? Where would you set the over-under if you were setting an over-under?
I think you have to say it's 2.5.
I'm taking the over at 2.5. What if it's 3.5?
But, I mean, would you have taken the over?
I know.
Would you have taken the over with Roethlisberger? I mean, he wins one his second year. It's just there's a big difference between guys that win two and guys that win three.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes seems like a guy who wins three. Patrick Mahomes seems like a guy who wins three. Anyway, it was fun to watch last night. We will take a break, come back, talk about it with Jason Smith on the other side. It's Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN. Hey, it's Jeff Calkins. Joining me today is Suzanne Hobbs, Director of Communications with Boomer Naturals. It's a U.S.-based wellness company that also offers America's best-selling face masks. Thank you, Suzanne, for joining me today. The Boomer Naturals masks, they're at their highest level of protection for 30 days of use. Explain that.
They sure are. They are meant to be used for at least 30 days. You get 30 full days of use, and then just hand wash it at the end of each day, or you can put it in the washing machine. And the reason that they're good for at least 30 days is a positive thing. That means you're going to have less waste, because like those single-use masks, you're not throwing it away. And things like bandanas offer such little protection. So we have nano silver in all three layers of these cloth masks, and that means that nano silver will last for up to 30 washes. Also really breathable and comfortable, multiple sizes for adults and kids. And we know you're going to be really happy that you found the face mask you've been searching for.
Thanks, Suzanne. For more information and to order, go to Boomer.
boomernaturals.com or just stop by your local CVS pharmacy and be sure to ask for Boomer Naturals Nano Silver Masks and Gaiters. Boomer's got you covered.
Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. It's time for you to upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
Get in the zone, AutoZone. Welcome to AutoZone. Dealing with battery problems? We've got you. Let's start with a free battery test. If you just need a free charge, we can help with that too. And if it's time for a new battery, we've got you covered. We're the only place you can find Duralast, the batteries more consumers choose. That's what makes us America's number one battery destination, where help is always in stock. Claims based on a proprietary consumer study and data from the NPD Group 2019. Get in the zone,
AutoZone. Sometimes our food is more than just food. It's an integral part of our community. So this year, Discover is giving $5 million to support Black-owned restaurants. To places like Post Office Pies in Birmingham, Alabama, Back in the Day Bakery in Savannah, Georgia, and hundreds more Black-owned restaurants in your local community, all across the country. Learn how you can show your support at discover.com.
For muscle pain, body aches, to strains, Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis. It works fast and you won't stink. Its unique formula with emu oil penetrates deep to relieve arthritis pain, sore muscles, joints, and more.
In your city, Tennessee, frowns ruled the streets, and boredom could be found everywhere until the Hit Games rolled into town. Now a whole lot of fun is about to hit from the producers of Once Upon an Instant Game, The Good, The Fun, and The Winner, and the Tennessee Lottery comes, the Hit Games gang rides again. Fun is coming to your city. Hit Instant Games, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
You gonna eat the other half of that sandwich?
It's all yours.
Nice. Chips too?
Sure.
Cool. What's up with that Powerball ticket?
I didn't win.
Can I have it?
Why?
To enter the Powerball First Millionaire of the Year drawing. I could win a free trip to New York City or New Year's Eve hometown party package.
Then no, you can't have it.
Fine. But I'm keeping the sandwich.
Visit TNVIPrewards.com to enter the Powerball First Millionaire of the Year drawing from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Morgan & Morgan, dial #529 on your cell phone. Pound law, that's all.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Got a quote the other day from Chip Wiggins at Affordable Blinds for some work I'm doing on my house. Some putting in some plantation shutters in my on my house. And the reason I do that is because I put my money where my words are. And I'm trying to spiff things up a little bit. And I know with Chip, A, he's just good to work with, first. B, it's right in the name, Affordable Blinds. You're not going to pay more than you have to. And third, it's going to be American craftsmanship. It's not just going to be American craftsmanship. It's going to be Memphis craftsmanship because Chip, during this pandemic, has taken the time to create a factory right here in Memphis where they do their own work. And so if you're getting plantation shutters from somewhere else, you're getting them from China and they're taking it forever. Here, nine-day shutters. 9 days. You can have them installed. 9dayshutters.com is how you can find them. Use the number 9. 9dayshutters.com or give them a call. 753-5822. 753-5822. Joined now by Jason Smith. Jason is half of Jason and John. How are you, sir?
Doing okay. What's going on, Jeff? It's Friday.
It is Friday. What does that mean in the house in the does Friday have significance? You don't have radio tomorrow, but like now you are doing schooling at home, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. My son and I, we count down the days to the weekend. They mean more than ever now because not only is he stressed out, but his dad more so because every day after I get off the show, it's coming home, helping him with the homework, which is cool. But then it's dad trying to upload homework. You and Gary have talked a little bit about this, right, to Google Classroom. And so you got to turn the blue icons to gray, which means you've turned it in. And wait, I've already done that one. And this one's been listed twice. And so by the end of the day, you've been back through school too, in addition to the work. And yes, at the, you know, come weekend, that's all behind you. So we're both kind of going through that. And I tell you what, I mean, you look forward to it. And here's the deal. You know, we got the news. It's been the last couple of weeks here that because of the trends right now, you know, they're looking at a return to school for first grade at his little independent private school over in Fraser at the end of September. So in a couple of weeks. And, whew, you know, as much as I'm concerned about his safety once he gets there and what's going to happen, I mean, you and I were talking about this, about what choice you'd make, virtual or in person. I'm praying that the numbers continue to trend the way they are here in Memphis, and we're back to the point, because we're gonna go in person for Chris, and I'm praying for that, man, because I'm telling you right now, you know what he's getting virtually. I mean, God bless the teachers that are doing this and the administrators that have had to put together these plans, but I can watch him, Jeff, Luke, you know. Whether it's the attention span's already short for a first grader, for a right. kindergartner. But when you put them in front of a screen and there's a bunch of other kids, I can hear the teacher spending half the time saying, kids, get your head off the table. Kids, focus on the screen. They're losing just so much, right? Just in time alone doing that, trying to get them to stay focused. And, again, you're asking a six-year-old to stay focused on a computer screen for, what, over 4 or 5 hours. And so, yes, I'm praying that we can get back to in person, obviously do it safely. Other independent schools in town we've seen, you know, other places that are back. Sure, are there no problems? Absolutely not. But in terms of having the directives from the Shelby County Health Department, in terms of what you do if you do have a case, we've had to go through the Zoom last night. What you do if you got to quarantine as a family? All that's coming, and yet I'm ready for it, because he's losing so much, Jeff, and students all over the city are losing so much just in having to do this virtually. But we get why, but it's just not the same. It's not even close.
No, it's interesting, because one of the things in the news yesterday was that the numbers are coming down in the city and going up in the suburbs, which mm-hmm. one possible explanation for that would be the suburbs tend to be in-person schooling and the city is not. Having said that, like, I occasionally people will tweet me, stay in your basement, Jeff, don't come out because you're scared. Sure. I'm not a stay-in-the-basement guy. I make it very clear. My kids are two. I have two kids. They are attending college in person. And if they were in Memphis and I could send my kids to school in person, I would. Like, I'm not stay-in-the-basement guy. I just think that school is really much more important than high school football, for example. That's where I sort of come down on this. But I'm curious, does he want to go back? And I'm thinking about how we process 9/11 all these years later, right? And particularly if you were little, is it like, what do you remember and all of that? And I'm just thinking, what are these kids going to process about this moment? Like, they will be, it defines, like, they. Do you remember the pandemic years? Of course they will, right? But I'm curious, does he want to go back? Does he say, well, I can't go see my friends, I want to go back to school? Or where is he on this?
Yeah, it's more for the chapel. It's more for the, honestly, because, I mean, Chris was into it much more than I was in terms of being sort of, you know, having that in him, face and all that kind of thing. There's that. He wants to get back to chapel. He wants to get back to playing basketball again for the school. They got a cool little deal over there where, you know, it's a little intramural thing, and every spring they're playing basketball. It's the athletics. It's the being around the other kids. Sure, he's seeing some of his friends every day, but it's not the same. The social interaction, not the same. Now, here's the deal, too. You know, this is what I work. Chris, because of virtual, he's able to, for the most part, be around the house, have the mask off. Once they go back, Jeff, those masks, think about trying to keep those on kindergartners and first graders and all that. So there's that part of it. But let's go back to, you know, how much do I remember about the first grade? I remember flashes. I remember my teacher. You know, I remember moments. But you've got to think that something like this, where everything's been just sort of thrown off, just the typical way of learning, just the typical, you go to class each day, you ride to school in your mom's car, you get picked up by dad, surely they'll remember that part. The question is, I guess, depending on if you're virtual all year long, if we've got to go beyond this, is does it start to affect it? Do a majority of students or too many students clearly fall behind? Because we're seeing that already. The question is going to be how long they have to do this and how far they'll fall back. But I gotta think they'll remember it, Jeff. Even you know, as early as first grade, kindergartners, sure, maybe they, you know, maybe this is just a blip. But for first graders and up, everybody's gonna remember this because hopefully we get back to a norm. We say, man, do you remember that 1 year? Because we're getting back right. to some kind of normalcy eventually here, year and a half, whatever it's gonna be.
Yeah, hopefully it stands out as being the exception and not the time when everything changed, the before times and the after times. What'd you think last night? Let's start with, I don't want to belabor it. I had two calls saying, yeah, don't give the knuckleheads too much attention, so that's fine.
Yeah.
But what did you think of the booing?
I'm going to be real honest with you. When the Texans came out, and so this is after they decided not to come out for the anthem, they got booed. I turned my back at that point, figuring, okay, well, I expected that, right? And I turned back around, and they're finishing up with the unity line. And so it was John Martin texting me and saying a little bit later on, a few minutes later, we're talking about the game at that point, but did you hear the booing? And I said, yeah, I heard it when the Texans came out. He said, no. They were booing during doing the showing of unity. And so I rewound it. I went back to listen. And he was absolutely right. Oh, and look, I heard one of your callers connect the two. But I think you're right. I think there was enough of a pause that they clearly let it be known that they weren't down. Now could some of it be, hey, you Texans, you didn't come out for the anthem, but you want to stand together and do this unity thing. That's more important to you. Boo, boo, boo. Sure, there could have been some of that, but this was clearly a we don't want to hear it. I mean, I think you put it the right way. A shut up and play football right now. You know, we're seeing all these symbols of what we must do. They're playing them up. You got them on the back of your helmets. You got them up on the all these slogans. You got them up on the, you know, it felt to me like we're tired of that. Just play the damn football game, especially if you're not going to stay, you know, especially if you're not going to come out for the anthem. They're a little bit mixed, but I thought it was definitely separate too, and that the majority of them were just booing this. We don't want this anymore. Isn't it amazing how literally like on the 19th anniversary of 9/11, when, you know, unity was a big thing, right? It was part of how we were going to move forward. It feels, Jeff, that we're just as divided more so than ever in terms of 19 years later, and that's a shame. But again, it's sort of like Facebook. You got to, sort of like your caller said, this is going to happen. You're never going to have anybody in 2020 on the same page, so it's probably to be expected last night. Look, I got family in Missouri, but we drove through, and look, you got black folks, you got white folks, but that is a state that I tell you what, there are plenty of folks who didn't like what was going on last night. I saw them a couple of weeks ago on my trip up there, and it doesn't surprise me, Jeff. Nothing in 2020 does, maybe except Skip Bayless getting on Dak Prescott about mental health.
We'll get to that in a second. But I'll be honest, I was so mad and disgusted. Yeah. That I did. I wanted them to leave. I'm like, if I'm a player, you have to be thinking, you F you. Like, I'm going to put on a game for your entertainment when you view my
too.
One expression of humanity.
Right,
and now
right.
I'm going to say, I wanted them to walk off the damn field. Screw you people. You're going to boo a minute of let's hope we can do better as a society. It sickened me.
Right. Sad symbol of where our country's at right now. But think about this, too. It wasn't just black players out there. So for those white ones, for the J.J. Watts and everybody else that was out there and felt that, too, I hope and I expect, and it sounded like from J.J. Watts' comments, that they were disgusted as well. But it's sort of – you can't walk in another man's shoes, right? But being down there with those black athletes and being booed just like those black athletes were, maybe the majority – Jeff, I have to believe that they felt that disgust, too. And so hopefully, like we've talked about, I know folks get tired of hearing me preach about it, but some hearts and minds get sort of solidified and galvanized that, man, this is awful. We've got to change. And it's not just on black folks, the black folks being booed. Those white players felt it too. And hopefully they were just as disgusted as you were, Jeff, as I was, and those black players on the field were.
It really is a taint to that organization, I have to say. Not the organization, but the whole, like literally it's supposed to be this moment of glory where they're celebrating the Super Bowl, and instead they – and I know it wasn't everybody, but, like, it was clear. It was enough people that we all heard it, and instead you just come away from it thinking, my God, what a –
It's almost one of those deals where the fewer people you have in there, you know, like sometimes, you know, you got 10 people in the forum and somebody yells out loud, from the, you actually hear it. You can make it out. And so I think what was it, Jeffrey, like 22%? So what are we looking at, 17, 18,000? I don't know the number of, I just know the percentage that they could
have. The game book said 15,985.
So you could hear it audibly. And I just wonder, when you've got everybody yelling, sure, you can hear the boos, but I wonder if NBC or whatever turns it down. It just came through. And like I said, I had turned my back and wasn't watching at the time, but when I went back after John pointed out to me, man, it was stark. And so I just wonder, having so few there, maybe they got the sound a little, don't have it as turned down as usual. And, man, it boomed to me through the screen, sort of like a full – Jeff, it felt like a full house, just those 15,000, yeah, whatever it was. It was awfully discouraging.
It reminded me a little of the Memphis fans who are so disgusted, who can't stomach the idea of a simple sticker on a helmet. Like,
it's shut up and play football. Yeah, we're tired of your we're tired of the decals and all the
Yeah, just shut up. I want my football. Need to do. Yeah,
okay. That's what I paid for. That's what it felt like.
You brought up Skip, so let's talk about Skip briefly. Skip Bayless was Dak Prescott. He weighed in on the Dak Prescott opened up about how he's been depressed and feeling low because, among other things, his brother took his own life. And to that, Skip said, what a sympathetic... No, Skip said that showed weakness and you can't be the leader of the Cowboys if you are... Now, the good thing is, literally, there is no one in the world... there is no one in the world who seems to agree with Skip. Like, it has been universal, including from Fox... universal condemnation of his statement. That's progress, isn't it?
Yeah, but I bet you Skip comes back on today. That's the thing about it. Listen, is it a fireable offense to put a question Dak and his coming out with this and going public with his battle? And it's a battle. I think we at 2020 still too. We all kind of have to respect. And I thought we've gotten the handbook on this stuff now that it's real, and you have to treat mental health issues and mental illness like real illness. And so the fact that you could come on too in 2020, like you said, with what most of the world understanding, but saying this and so resolutely right there and feeling it. I mean, here's the thing that scared me half to death was Shannon corrected him on it, or at least tried to set him straight. And Skip said, well, yeah, maybe I'm not the right guy, but I'm sticking to mine. I'm sticking to mine here and saying, but you can't lead America's team because this is a show of weakness. You can lead the Bears or the Bills? Is that what you mean? Hell no, it's not what you mean. What you really mean is that it was weak. And in the locker room of grown-ass men, right, it's not going to play and you're going to lose some sort of – you're going to drop down in terms of their eyes, which is absolutely ridiculous to believe. I mean, surely we have come far enough to realize that how ridiculous that is. And so for Skip to sit there and say that was to a point where if I'm Fox, I'm thinking, I mean, what's he, 68, 69? Like, if you really believe this, right, we've got to consider, our relationship with you. And again, you could say, well, is the offense fireable? Maybe not. But again, you have to look at Skip and sort of what's coming out right now at a point where, man, we all know how sensitive a subject this is and how sensitively you've got to treat it. The fact that he could be, the fact that he could be so boneheaded there might be a sign to them. Look, this guy, I mean, that's 1985 talk. You know what I'm saying? In 2020, when we, be tough and all that. And look, players were dealing with depression then. We just didn't talk about it. I mean, I want to tell you that Dave Duerson ended up committing suicide. We talk about, CTE and all that kind of stuff. But this has been an issue that we kept locked in a box. We're bringing it out, which I think we all agree is a good thing, putting some attention on it. It's a show of strength, really, Jeff.
It's absolutely a show of inner strength
to come out.
Yes.
To come out and say that publicly. I mean, everybody who's looked up to Dak, and let's be real. Dak's one of the dudes, and you may not like him as a quarterback. He may not be as prolific as you want him to be, but he is a dude who has always carried himself the way you would want your son to. And so him coming out with this battle, I think it absolutely would inspire others to do the same. But when you got fools like Skip that still get a platform to say this is weak, well, then you got a few that will say, well, wait a minute, maybe I need to second guess me going public with this thing or talking about my issue, or more importantly, having it addressed, right? Going to someone to get some help that would really, really make things better. And so, the fact that it just felt so 1980s, and the fact that, I give Shannon credit for sort of trying to set him straight, But I don't see how he sits there across from him without banging the table on that one, because that was idiotic. You know?
Yeah, I mean, Skip is known for his clownish opinions, extreme clownish opinions,
sure,
that he does to get attention. But they're not usually dangerous, and that's what this was. And it's why I think this time,
agreed,
Fox came out and said what they said. You're exactly right. It is to acknowledge the reality that literally all of us deal with, all of us struggle at some point. And mental illness is real. And particularly now, in the wake of this pandemic,
100%.
It's even more so. There's been stresses, new stresses of just being alone and isolation and uncertainty. And to, in the midst of that, to trot out the, I'll even go 1960s or 50s sentiment,
sure,
that mental illness is somehow, or that depression or that struggle is weakness, is, it's dangerous. That's exactly what it is. And it's why the universal condemnation is appropriate. And no, I don't believe he'll get fired for it. And I'm not trying to get anyone fired for anything. I just think it's just was bizarre that he said it, and sad. And all three of my kids have seen therapists or psychiatrists or whatever. And one reason is that it's good to know at a young age that, hey, when I have my struggles in my life and I have a bad patch, I can get help. And there's nothing weak or shameful about it. I've certainly had my share. My ex-wife certainly has had her share. I probably should have had more. I wouldn't be as screwed up as I am.
I mean, this man's brother committed suicide.
The guy's brother committed suicide.
You know?
Yeah,
this isn't a deal where it was like invisible and, oh, what could you possibly be going through? You're a millionaire who's either, you know, you're going to get tagged or you're going to eventually get some, you know, huge contract. What could you possibly be dealing with? It's public. What that family's gone through in terms of losing the mother, which Dak said was he thinks is one of the reasons why his brother ended up committing suicide. He never got over that. Like the tragedy in their family's been made public. So the idea that you could sort of come on and question, why would he do this? Why would he be weak? Is ridiculous when this one's been as public as anything. And so it just adds to how asinine this fool was yesterday.
Okay, a couple other things. Talking to Jason Smith, Jason and John, every single day from 11 till 2. A couple of things before I let you go. Nolan Smith has taken his name out of the running for the assistant gig with Penny. At some point, I thought that was probably going to happen. Is this a setback? How do you view that?
It depends. I mean, again, you know, Penny's recruited here pretty well with right now two full-time assistants. So, and has gotten what he's wanted to. And it sounds like by just rolling the sleeves up and doing a lot of it himself, in addition to the work that Toppert and Matlock are doing. So there's that standpoint of it. You like to get a guy in because we're getting close here, obviously, and players and that relationship with that assistant is super important. So from that standpoint, it puts you a little bit behind the eight ball. That said, I like the move, man. I like aiming high. I like that he went after a guy that was going to have some huge – Mark's talked about this because he's from that way – some huge D.C. connections if you had got him in. That's why it makes sense to me that Coach K saw that too. And again, if you're not a threat, it's one thing, right? Maybe he blesses it and says, okay, go take those ties somewhere else. We'll get you back when we can. But when you're Penny Hardaway, and in some cases recruiting players against Duke, right, or at least that Duke's got interest in too, if you're K, you're looking at that as a threat. I thought it says that too. Not just that Nolan Smith, he thinks he's going to be good, but man, Nolan Smith would have been good for Memphis, and that ain't good for me. So that's actually a compliment to the program. That said, yes, if you had your heart set on him, it absolutely puts you back, sets you back. But again, at a time where there's not much movement, we'll see. I know I would have to imagine still a bunch of folks that want the job. What, he ended up being, 16 people or more at some point. So again, yeah, Nolan Smith would have been good. No question about it. He checked a lot of the boxes, but I got a feeling, you know, like I've said, Penny Hardaway sort of, when he's missed on going big like a Jalen Green, what did he follow up with, a Landers Nolly or something like that? So in this case too, I think there's a way to sort of have the same impact on the coaching staff. You didn't get Nolan Smith, you'll try the next guy. We'll see. But you have to imagine when you got your, it felt like a guy that checked all the boxes, it's going to be hard to get a guy as strong, but we'll see. Penny usually comes through.
And then meanwhile, and lastly, your co-host, John Martin, has a piece up at The Athletic about Possible starting lineups for the University of Memphis basketball team. He has different categories. He has the long lineup. That one includes happens to include DeAndre Williams. He has an explosive lineup, a different point guard, a different point guard, and then lean into offense. Let me go the different point guard one. He has Nolley at shooting guard, Jeffries at small forward, Williams at power forward. Yeah, so he's really kind of assuming Williams in almost all of his lineups or most of his lineups, which isn't interesting. Williams at power forward, Cisse at center. But then he has Alex Lomax at point guard. What do you think the chances are that Alex Lomax will be the starting point guard?
I would at this point, I'd say lower than 50-50 still. What I think is this is good news that Alex, in terms of having a handle on things, right, is doing all the right things like you would expect of a guy who's going into his junior season. It's sort of like this. And maybe it ends up materializing that way where you do start the season with it because he's been so good. But remember the talk of how good Ball was in the offseason last year and how, oh, man, this is a guy who could push for a starting lineup at point guard, into the starting lineup at point guard. I think it's some of that. You get some of this during the summer when we start, you know, and I know John's plugged in over there, and I think that's part of what this is. Alex Lomax right now is playing really well, probably in practice. He's got control of things. And look, we've talked about this, remarked about it openly. I've loved the way, you know, he's on Twitter with all of his other teammates, sort of, Lester Quinones, you're the best shooter, like encouraging all that sort of thing. That's what a point guard and a leader does. So I think he's looked like a leader this offseason, and that's why you're having the possibility of it getting kicked around over there, of him starting. Possibly you do. It could be a sign, too, of where Boogie is right now. I think a lot of us had penciled him in as the point guard. But listen, right now, you know, is Boogie best suited for that? I said Booty. Is Boogie best suited for the point guard role in terms of that playmaker thing? So I think it's sort of where things stand right now. And if I had to put money on it, if you were putting a gun to my head, I'd still tell you that I think Boogie will end up the starting point guard with Lomax coming off the bench, because part of it, too, Jeff, such a big part of it is, you know, Lomax can handle that, right? Some of these other guys trying to bring them off the bench, who knows? Do they cave on you? Do they tell you they're going to transfer? Lomax is Penny's guy. And to his credit, he's going to do whatever Penny asks, whether that's coming off the bench or starting, and be fine with it, right, and still do the right things, not be a problem for the rest of the team because he's not starting. You may have to worry about that with other guys. You don't have to worry about it with Alex Lomax. It speaks to the leader that he is.
Well, his fifth lineup is lean into offense, and that one, in fact, three of his five lineups, Boogie is the starting point guard. Right. One of them Damian is, and one of them Alo is. But in his lean into offense, it's Ellis, Quinones, Jeffries, Nolley, and Cisse. In that one, you have the issue that you're going to have to explain to either Jeffries or Nolley presumably, that, yeah, you're a four, but you're not really a four in our offense. It's a four-guard offense, and so you're cool. Do you think that works and flies?
It does if they're winning. It does if they're winning. If they're losing big matchups, high-profile matchups come and looking bad in them, that's when those things could go wrong. But if you're winning, and they've certainly got a roster to do that this season, it's much easier for a Penny Hardaway, who frankly should be, you know, is one of the best to ever play the game and should be a Hall of Famer if his career had lasted a little bit longer. When he's telling you, look, this is the best thing for our team and you're winning, much easier to buy into those roles. Now, if they end up underachieving, they end up losing some games they shouldn't, and then that's when the fathers, the grassroots coaches of these players will say, "Man, you're losing because you're in the wrong spot because they're using you wrong." But when you're winning, right, in whatever way Penny is using you, usually things are fine, and that's when you can much easier sell. I mean, just ask Coach K or ask Cal. You know, Scott Labissiere went up there and he did what Cal said. Why? Basically because Cal always tells you right. What, he's got 75% or whatever it is of his players go to the league or whatever the heck that stat is. It's something outrageous. And you fall in line because that's the winning way. That's what's worked. And so as long as you're winning, I think more players, obviously, that's the way it goes. You're more apt to fall in. And I, from everything we look at from this team in terms of what it's got, most importantly, the experience now that you've got sort of through the lineup, I think winning big is going to be a regular thing for this team. So they've got the roster to do that, Jeff. If they maybe again, young team like last year, most inexperienced, you start, you know, you lose a few of those games. Well, you've got those people around you saying, uh-uh. Well, it's not working because you ain't getting this, or you're not getting these minutes, or you're in this role. But if you win, usually, again, you get your way. And I think that's the way it's going to work for Memphis this year. Biggest challenge for Penny, though, is definitely roles.
Jason, I'll be listening at 11 o'clock. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Yep. Have a good weekend.
That is Jason Smith. Coming up next, Chris Harrington, and then Fish on Friday. Jeff Dawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hi, I'm a 2020 census taker. As I walk around your neighborhood, you'll see my census bag and ID badge. I'll also be wearing a mask and following local guidelines for everyone's safety. And behind other census taker masks, you'll find new graduates wanting to make a difference. Retirees or veterans giving back to their community. People committed to doing right by getting the nation's count right. We're coming to assist anyone who hasn't completed the census yet. We'll stop by to ask some simple questions that will impact funding and planning for things like healthcare, emergency services, education, and job training, along with determining congressional representation for the next 10 years. But right now is your chance to make a big difference. So come out and say hi at a safe distance. Time is running out, but there's still time to shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company, which has reopened at 50% capacity. They've instituted sanitation
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.